People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. This is Fine Music Radio, the program People of Note. Welcome from me, Rodney Trudgeon. Ballet very much under the spotlight today. You probably know that the Cape Town City Ballet's production of Adolf Adam's glorious ballet, Giselle, has just opened at the Artscape Opera House, one of the great ballets in the repertoire. And it's an exciting time for Cape Town City Ballet. Recently, after 52 years of dedication and commitment, Professor Elizabeth Trickard retired. And in her place, they are delighted to have announced that Tracy Lee has been appointed as acting executive director of Cape Town City Ballet for a period of 6 months, and during which time she'll be working alongside Robin van Wyk, who's the artistic director, and Mervyn Williams, director of outreach, education, and wardrobe. And all of them will ensure that Cape Town City Ballet excels as an artistic entity. And just let me tell you a little bit about my guest, because Tracy Lee is with me in the studio today. Tracy was born and trained in Hong Kong, and she won various awards there. In 1992, she moved to Durban and also won all sorts of awards there. And then in September 1993, she began what has turned out to be a long career with Cape Pab Ballet. After 14 years with Cape Town City Ballet, Lee retired as principal dancer, and at the same time, under the guidance of Keith McIntosh and Professor Elizabeth Trickard, she joined the management of Cape Town City Ballet as principal coach. And Tracy, it must be a very exciting time for you to take on something like this, a ballet company that you've worked for a long time. So you probably know it very well, don't you, from the inside out, so to speak.
Yes, that is certainly the case. And I'm excited. And it is a huge challenge. And it came to me very unexpectedly. So it was also for myself that I had to think hard, would I be able to carry out and have the responsibility? But then I was thinking, you know, in life, you cannot wish for anything huge like this to happen. And when it comes to you, you have got to grab the opportunity and try and do your best. And that's what I'm trying to do here.
So with a ballet dancer, Tracy, you have to make a decision, don't you, at some stage to retire from stage, especially if you are a principal. Was the admin side, the choreography side and all that, has that always appealed to you?
Never.
Never. It's a new challenge.
But never. When I stopped dancing, or when I was deciding alongside with my stage partner, Daniel Reiner, it's like it's your identity, you know, and we both felt, oh, it's so difficult. Shall we hang on to it? But then we're getting older. So we know we couldn't have hung on to it for any longer. So we decided, okay, let's bow out and then see what we can do. I think it is very brave of him to go to do civil engineering. And for myself, I thought, okay, I'm not going to get involved with ballet at all. I want to have a clean break, and that's the only way that psychologically maybe I can deal with it, you know. But then it was through Keith and Elizabeth that they said, come in and try to give a couple of classes and see how you feel. So I suppose then I thought, okay, well, that's fair enough, you know. So I came in, I took classes, and I also tried to stage Don Quixote for the younger dancers. And through that few experiences, and I thought, hang on, actually, I feel quite at ease to be on the other side of the studio, and I wasn't really that scared of it. So I thought, okay, I'm going to give myself another few months, and then it was like 10 years down the line, and I am still around, you know, very much involved, yeah.
But it's a huge challenge, as you said, to take on, you know, because Elizabeth has been there for so long. She's very much an institution, isn't she? And you've now got to convince the company that you know the direction to take them. And there are all sorts of challenges for you, aren't there? Not only the dancing side, but as you say, the administrative side, raising money, keeping the thing afloat.
Yes, I think financial side is my biggest challenge.
As always with the art, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, always. But I can only be hopeful, you know, one can't be too confident. And as you said, Elizabeth has been such an icon in the ballet world, and she has done so much, and all her contribution towards the art and ballet is immense, and her legacy, you know. But I suppose I'm coming in as a newer generation, and I think there is a path that I can choose to maybe make a slight difference, but preserving the original. You know,
which would be important, wasn't it, to preserve the essential Cape Town City Ballet kind of psyche. but yet maybe bring a more youthful approach to the whole
thing. Yes, yes. I think, you know what, even when I was dancing, I always said to myself, the best thing that appealed to myself, it's simple with a twist. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to apply that into my new role as well, is that the simplicity of what we have created is always there and it's always the best. But it's how we spice it up a little bit too, especially in this newer generation. Everyone is on social media. So 20 years ago, we're very isolated. Nobody knows what's happening outside South Africa. And now everyone knows what's happening and they're chasing that pace, you know. So then in that sense, I think we have to change ourselves a little bit and then get ourselves a little bit more forward thinking and change the image a little bit so people know that we are not lagging behind. So we are going to be more with the trend and see how far I can take the company.
Good. As we keep saying, a huge challenge, Tracy. But tell me, let's have your first piece of music. And I see you've chosen some delightful ballet music, which I'm glad about. What is your first piece?
My first piece of music is Romeo and Juliet. And also this piece of music is not very popular in playing because it's about when Juliet was trying to decide what she wants to do after Romeo has killed her brother.
Music there from one of my favorite ballets, Romeo and Juliet by Prokofiev, and the first choice of my guest on People of Note this week, Tracy Lee, who has recently been appointed acting executive director of Cape Town City Ballet. And tell me why you chose that. I mean, obviously, it's a glorious ballet score and a lovely story, and you've danced Juliet many times, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Is it a role that you like?
It is a role that's very special to me, and yes, of course, I love it very much. But With Romeo and Juliet, there's like so many different elements to it that's special because it's my first full-length ballet ever. And it was Gary Trinder, my ex-director of Hong Kong Ballet. He brought me out to Durban. So that was my first full-length ballet in this country.
And he suggested you did Juliet.
Yes, he did.
He obviously thought that you had it within you to do this role, which is a challenging role, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and also he have known me since I was about 13 in Hong Kong, and then he took me into the company when I was barely about 16 years old. So we have been working quite closely together, and then when he got his directorship at NAPAC, then he brought me out. And so therefore, Romeo and Juliet is my first full-length ballet, and the particular piece of music that I've chosen is when she was being so heart sore that she needed to decide what she needed to do because she loves Romeo, but then Romeo had just killed her brother and said goodbye to her and ran away. So, but the funny story behind it was that up till then, I was only a dancer with a smile. So this particular music is so mature. And I remember in the studio when we were rehearsing, I sat on the bed and then, but I have Gary telling me what I must think and my emotion, how I must place it and how I must express it through myself just sitting there. And the piece of music is so long and I have about 32 counts sitting there emoting. So as a 19-year-old, that was a little bit too much at the time. So, but then we didn't have the luxury of like doing a stage run for all cast. So of course I was the baby cast. So I went onto stage the first time, straight into performance. I sat there and I thought, oh my goodness, 32 counts of doing nothing. That's all I was thinking and I was performing. So I was sitting there, gripping the bed and thinking, what did Gary say to me? And then I was thinking, okay, I must be sad. I must be thinking this and that. And then I thought, 32 counts now. I've lost my count. So,
oh, no.
So I was literally gripping the bed and like thinking of all thoughts except the storyline. So, and then I just like, when I heard the big piece of music, I said, okay, actually I'm late. I have to get off this bed and I start running. And that's what I did. I jumped off the bed and I started running. And then at the end of the show, I thought, okay, I'm going to be in such trouble. But Murphy's Law, because of my panic and my confusion in my head, it turned out to be like the talking point of the evening. And I thought, oh, wow, she can act. Like, she just sits there for 32 counts and she acts really well. I mean, I found it a bit of a cheat. But that was a lesson that I've learned that, you know, how when you're actually in the rehearsal room and people talking to you, especially when you are not dancing, you have got to take it in and, yes, like, find a way to let your body speak for itself.
And when you came to perform that scene again, because, as you said, you've done Juliet many times, you must have thought back to that moment of panic and maybe even used some of your actions in future productions, because it worked so well in that one.
I know. I did try, but it didn't work because that panic wasn't as truthful as the first time.
Yes, it was truthful. But isn't that interesting, the truth that you artists need to bring out? You can't make us think that you are acting.
Yes.
You've got to look like the tragic Juliet.
Yes, yes.
And the confused Juliet.
Yes, and that is so important, is to be sincere. Mm. That's what I've learned as well, is that although it wasn't the correct way of expressing myself, but like if you think deep into it, that's about acting. Acting is not about expressing what you want people to think. It's actually feeling the spirit of it and feeling every single emotion and then put it into your body and almost live it to a point so that you can translate that over to the audience and be convincing and sincere.
It's a story that I'll never forget now. When I see that ballet next time, I'll think of you sitting on the bed wondering, getting lost in the counting and panicking. Tracy, let's have another piece of music.
Yes. My second piece of music is Raymonda, Glazunov.
And why have you chosen this?
Because that was also a very, very special experience. I went to Johannesburg to do the Sanlam competition, international ballet competition, and I did win the title of the best professional, but it's the journey of being coached by Diane, Richard, and also the journey of being in the competition and what I have learned and what I have gained from it.
Mm-hmm. And they used this music in the competition?
Yes.
This is then an excerpt from Raymonda by Glazunov. That's an excerpt from the ballet Raymonda by the Russian composer Glazunov. Isn't it interesting, Tracy Lee, who's my guest, Tracy, isn't it interesting how unbelievably important the Russians have been in writing ballet music? The moment you think of ballet, you think of the big Russian composers, don't you? Stravinsky, Tchaikovsky, Glazunov, Prokofiev.
Absolutely.
And I wonder why. Anyway, Tracy Lee has recently been appointed the acting executive director of Cape Town City Ballet. You mentioned Hong Kong, and you mentioned actually why you came out to South Africa, but I'd like to find out how it started. When did you first know you wanted to be a ballet dancer? Tell me a little bit about when you were very young.
Yes, it actually started when I was very young. Before I even turned 3, apparently when I started walking, I always rise onto my toes in my shoes. So I ruined the front part of my shoes all the time because I was walking on tiptoes when I was like literally a toddler. So then they thought that's very odd. None of my family, I've got a huge family, 7 of us, and I'm the baby.
Oh.
So none of them were involved in the art form at all. One of my sisters said, okay, well, let's take her to a ballet class and see. So they took me to a studio, and they looked at me, and I was tiny. And they said, how old are you? And then my sister said, oh, she's 2.5. And I said, sorry, she's too young. We can't have her. Bring her in after she's turned 3. And then on the dot, on my birthday, I said, I want to go back to that studio. And that was it.
And that was where it started?
That was it, yes.
At 3 years old?
Yes. I didn't think, you know what, I don't think I have ever thought that it was ballet, but it was just in my body that I want to move in a certain way. And I was very happy in class, apparently. I actually don't remember much. And I remember going onto stage when it was the end of the year, wearing a little white rabbit's outfit. But I don't remember remembering any steps. I'm sure I was just running around on that stage. But I feel like I'm very lucky that I truly think that the path was there. So I was always naturally very committed to my classes, ballet classes, and my mom was very supportive. And I never had to go for any auditions and have that heartbroken feeling of not being accepted or whatever. Everything was kind of laid out there, and I was just following through. Mm. And I think that is a huge blessing.
Yes. It was meant to be, in other words. It was meant to be for you. What about music? Did music play a part in your life? Classical music, pop music, whatever?
I'm very embarrassed to say, actually, no.
Don't be embarrassed at all.
I'm not saying that I don't love music, but when I hear music that really speaks to me, it does move me a lot, and I'm very in tune with that. But if the music that I'm listening to and has got nothing to do with my emotion, or if I don't connect to it, there is absolutely no connection. Okay. And sometimes when I was dancing, I was quite worried, but that will happen to me. I was worried that that will happen to me, but it had never. And so I suppose with me, it's like I use the choreography and I use the music and I can make them work together, and I could actually feel it. And that's my connection with ballet and music. But if you take me out from the ballet world, normally I wouldn't say, oh, I want to put the music on, which is quite weird because I wanted to be the person that loved music. And like, say, on a Sunday, I say, okay, I'll just have like those music on and I'll just sit and read with the music as a background to I. But that has never, it's never been part of my life.
For example, so when you're sitting reading, you're not likely to listen to a concerto or a symphony or any music. The music that you listen to is the music that you are involved with, is what you're telling me. You need to dance to it. You need it to say something to you.
Yes, I think that
was... Did I sum it up correctly?
Yes, that is actually very correct. I couldn't put it together for myself.
But Tracy Lee, when you had the opportunity to come to Durban, you told us the chap that was moving to Durban told you to come out. What did you think? You were young, weren't you? And what did you think? It's a long way from Hong Kong. It's very different from Hong Kong.
That was also a battle because everyone around me said, don't go. Some people would say it was a desert, which is, I knew it wasn't. But like a lot of people were still thinking it's a very backwards country, or it was just yellow soiled road and have animals and carts being around. So, and that was in like 1990 or 91. So it was like 25, 27 years ago. But I was headstrong about leaving. So I didn't care about what other people said, and they weren't very, very supportive except my mom. So I just picked up my bag and I said to my family, this is the offer and I would like to give it a go. And then they, you know, with families, always the best. They worried, but they will always say to you, well, whenever, if you don't feel right, come right back. Ticket is here. And that's why I took the chance. I came over, and then when I landed in the Durban airport, and I thought, what are these people talking about? This is just a normal city, maybe a bit smaller in the airport, but everything is so normal. And so I wasn't scared at all. I was actually very, very excited.
And since then, you've never wanted to go back to Hong Kong to live or to work, because you then went to Johannesburg and then you came to Cape Town. So South Africa has played a major role in your professional career.
Yes, it has, certainly. And I don't know whether I feel very comfortable here, or is it the force of the beauty of like the mountain and the ocean. But, and also the very reason I left Hong Kong was that I wasn't happy with how the people were working in Hong Kong. I mean, they work very hard. But it's the mentality that everyone is for themselves, which is also very good. But for me, that is not it, you know. So when I have experience in Durban and in Cape Town, that I wouldn't want to say that we work like a family, because that's just too cheesy. But we do tend to be more caring and considerate with each other, and people are more willing to help with you when you're in trouble. And in Hong Kong, we're all like, this is my bit and I need to do it. And then if you're in trouble, they will look at you, know that you're in trouble, but they might not lend you a hand. And here, it's like everyone is like very entwined with each other's life and very open. And I think for me, coming from Hong Kong, I think that's a very beautiful thing and very special. And I think I wanted to hang on to that and be part of it.
Good. So we've got you here now. Let us have your third piece of music, Tracy Lee.
The third piece of music is Don Q.
And why have you chosen Don Quixote?
It's just this particular piece of music. I found it. It's so sexy and so beautiful. And also we have been coached by this beautiful dancer, ex-dancer, Bustamante. And just by chance, he was just bypassing Cape Town and we met up. And then, but he was the protege for Baryshnikov. So he was also a beautiful dancer and very special. And he took us in his own time while he was on holiday with this particular pas de deux. And both Daniel and myself, we were so in awe of him. We couldn't take anything in. We just looked at him and was like, oh my God, that's gorgeous. And then, so it becomes, but his input was so beautiful and so in tune with the music and the story. And so it's become a very special piece for myself and Daniel.
Excerpt there from the ballet Don Quixote, another choice of my guest here on People of Note on Fine Music Radio, who is Tracy Lee, the acting executive director of Cape Town City Ballet. Actually, that reminds me, Tracy, it might be a bit premature to ask you this question, but we're calling you acting executive director because I suppose you have to do that in a company. Are you hoping like mad that you'll be appointed and that this is what you want to do now that you've had a taste of it for a few months?
Well, I am trying to do my best and find my feet into this role. I always said to myself, whether it was for 6 months or 6 years, it doesn't take anything away for my term that's between April and September. Mm-hmm. So I suppose we can only see after my term is done and review it to see how much I have contributed to the company or the potential of taking the company forward. But as a dancer, we know that always someone would be better, you know.
Yes,
so if they
yes.
could find someone better to take the company forward, or maybe even on the financial side that is stronger, by all means, we need that, you mm-hmm. know. But for mm-hmm. the time being, I am just troubleshooting for what we have been struggling with, and hopefully I could go into those little gaps and like just form the basic and make the company and look after the well-being of the dancers
yeah.
so that everyone is on a healthy note to start off with.
Because it's such a commitment, isn't it, being a ballet dancer, and you've got to work so hard for so many years before you can get into a professional company and dance, you know, professional roles, that these people need to be looked after. And so tell me a little bit about Cape Town City Ballet at the moment. It's not a huge company, but you've got a number of people, haven't you, that are permanent?
We have just under 30 professional ballet dancers with us, and mm-hmm. then we have about 9 to 10 graduates, which we're hoping that they can, if we can give them a year of training and then see if they can come in to join us as professional.
Mm-hmm.
And for management, we only have about 4 of us at the moment. So it is on a skeleton staff. That's why it is challenging, because mm-hmm. if you look at other companies, they have a huge staff to You have got a financial director, you've got people to look after the friends, you have got people on marketing, and all departments, they have about two or three people to look after what they need to do, and for us, we don't. So that is challenging. But that goes back to funding, isn't it?
It does, and of course.
Yes.
But you said something interesting there, Tracy, because you mentioned friends. And am I right in saying that you were responsible, really, or you had something to do with setting up the Friends of Cape Town City Ballet?
I had helped Elizabeth to set up the Friends when I first retired. That was Elizabeth, myself, and Daniel. And then I was in charge of it for a few years, and then now Suzette Raymond, who is also our chairperson, she is also the chairperson of the Friends.
Okay. And we talked about the company. You said you've got about 30 dancers, and you said you've got a scheme where you bring people in to train them. As far as you are concerned, is there sufficient interest in Cape Town to keep young people wanting to be ballet dancers, if you see what I mean? Do you think anything needs to be done to create more awareness of ballet?
I think we do have to. We do have to do a lot of work to draw more interest for the youngsters. But also, I think we need more resource to be able to do that.
Well, that's the thing.
Because, and it always go back to funding, because if our salary scheme is not good enough, that is always a problem, isn't it? How can we attract people? How could we attract local dancers or overseas dancers? So we have to work very hard to get to a point that we could raise our salary to match the living standard. And then also for the repertoires, we have got to choose them very carefully to see how we can balance, to challenge the dancers and also to attract the audience and to gain trust from the potential sponsors and donors, and also at the same time keep the interest going with the younger lot. So there are so many elements that we have to consider and put together so that we could achieve from all angles, so that we can make the company a whole company that's going forward with a secure financial situation.
Because you also do a fair amount of outreach work, don't you? You take the ballet company into schools and townships so that people can get to see what this is all about. That must be a very important side of your work as well.
Yes, that is. And I don't think we have done enough just yet, and we would like to up that so that we can reach out to more schools and, as you said, also going out to township and even just different region. I mean, it's very important so that they can see it and that they can see it as fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes them want to do it.
Yes.
Once they want it, then that's fine. That's that first step is over.
Yes, as you discovered as well, if it's in your body, you must want to enjoy it. You must want to do it because it's such hard work, as I said. Tracy, let's have another piece of music. Camille, isn't this the one that's based on La Traviata, the Verdi opera?
Yes, that is. And it has been very popular. I mean, the music is beautiful and the story is just beautifully tragic, you know. I chose that piece of music simply because I retired on that.
That your last professional?
That was my last. Yeah, that's for my last performance with Daniel when we officially retired. And then 5 years after my retirement, I came out and I also did Camille, but with Jesse Milligan, who was literally half my age.
Well, let's listen. And then after that, I want to talk a little bit more about how important a relationship with a male dancer is when you're on stage. Here's music from Camille. Giuseppe Verdi's music for the opera La Traviata, and transcribed, I suppose, as well, into a ballet called Camille, and a choice there of my guest. We're talking ballet here on People of Note this week, Tracy Lee, who is the acting executive director of Cape Town City Ballet. You know, a few times, Tracy, you said that you speak about your partner, Daniel Reiner, who was your partner on stage. We talk about on stage now. In so many major productions, it must be a very special bond that perhaps no one quite understands how important that is, because in a way it is very intimate, as I say, without it being, you know, a relationship as such, but it is a professional relationship. It must be very important, the sort of relationship you have with your male dancer.
You are very correct. It's a very intimate relationship, because if you don't open your heart to your stage partner, and to be totally honest, then you won't be able to find that commitment, the same commitment between the two, and also the same working relationship. So I think it was towards the end of 99 that Daniel and myself, we have danced together, but I think it was Don Q that had put us together as a full-length ballet, and I think Elizabeth has seen could see the potential of the spark or the connection between the chemistry
yes,
on stage. Yes. So she put us together for the next few productions, and then she just let us develop into our own. And Daniel and myself, we both workaholic. I think that was the great start of both of our relationship. And then we just trusted each other, and we're very emotional with each other. Sometimes he will throw his shoes down onto the floor and throw a tantrum, and I'll be crying, or we'll be arguing just for the smallest thing. But all of these is to achieve the perfect moment. Actually, it's just for one moment, and we put in a lot of sweat and anger and emotion into it just to make sure that it's perfect. And that is how we worked through our relationship. And also, it's about getting the best out from each other, because he is masculine and he persevere, and I have never worked with someone that works so hard, and not being fearful to fail when you are actually practicing a step that you are struggling with. For me, it's always, if I struggle with a step, I went so small, and I don't want people to see me practice, so I'll go into a dark corner or another studio and practice by myself. But he just said, no, you do it right here. And let people see, and then when you're nervous that people are seeing, then you know how your body will react, and then you know how you have to do your preparation. So he forces me to come out from my insecurity self, and I just go for whatever that I needed to practice. And then so that is on the side of technique, you know, and then when it comes to storytelling, we never reserve our emotion in the studio. We always go full force with the storytelling side so that we can act and react from each other, and we'll say, okay, I don't feel comfortable that way. Can you try it? Or maybe if I react you to this, would you like it? Or how would you like me to put my head? And all these nuances. And we're very detailed with things like that. And we enjoyed it. We didn't do it because we want to be painful. We do it because we really want to get the end result to be good.
Gosh, and you've had wonderful reviews, the two of you together. Did you both decide to retire at the same time?
Yes, we did. I think also at the time, the company was smaller than this. And we didn't have a lot of principal dancers at that time. They were all very young and inexperienced. So for about 2 or 3 years before we retired, our workload was immense. And we would be doing 6 back-to-back Giselle in 1 week.
Yeah.
And then while the company is grooming the newer dancers, you know. So, I mean, it was a great challenge. I mean, we loved it. We've got the stamina, and we push ourselves, and we just looked after our own bodies and minds, and then we just, like, give each other, like, the encouragement, and we went through it. But it got to a point that it was a little bit too much, and we are getting older, so the energy level is dropping. And then we started to say, well, maybe we should start thinking about it in case injury occurs, you know.
Yes, exactly. And then you said Daniel went into civil engineering, and you've gone into the sort of administrative side. So just before I leave you, or before you leave me, I should say, Tracy Lee, tell me about we've got Giselle running now. What does the rest of the year look like? Have you got some exciting ballets for us to look forward to?
I would like to say it's exciting. The end of August, we are bringing Mozart and Salieri back.
Oh, yes, Mark Goldberg's
Mark Goldberg's
that
work.
Was hugely successful,
it
wasn't
was,
it?
I loved was, it. Yes, and with the kind donation and sponsor from Peter Turin, he's given us a slot for Mozart and Salieri, so we decided we will take that gap. And then in October, I'm bringing Veronica Pepper and Peter Cassilet together. So they will team up, and then hopefully we can make the magic come back onto stage with the big production of Cinderella.
Oh, right.
We haven't done Cinderella on the opera stage for a long time, almost like more than 10 years,
wow,
I think.
Okay.
So it has lost its magic a little bit because it was an old ballet. So we need a little bit of refreshment. And then Peter Cassilet and Veronica, they have always worked so well together. And I'm hoping that we can do that and change the look of the entire ballet.
Freshen it up,
yes.
I know, that's great to look forward to.
And then in December, we have The Little Mermaid from Adam Sage. Home, it's actually quite a funny story. I knew him since Hong Kong Day. And then when I went to Durban, he was also there, but he's American. And so Robin van Wyk has been in touch with him, and then he has engaged with Adam Sage, and then we're bringing his Little Mermaid to come to the theater in December as the children ballet. Mm-hmm. Although I am negotiating, but it is pretty confirmed that we will do Sean Bovim's Swing Time at the Ballet in the evening for the December season.
Oh, that's the modernized combination. What a nice contrast. Tracy, it's been fascinating talking to you, and congratulations on your appointment. I hope they make you, as you said, executive director, but you acting executive director now, and lots of challenges for you as well. And tell me about your last piece before I allow you to leave the studio.
Okay. Well, this piece is Time Passes Swiftly Like Flowing Water. I love the music, but it actually, before I found the piece of music, it was a pop song in Cantonese. And Anita Mui was one of my favorite singers when I was teenagers. You know, when you're teenagers, you have a best friend, and then you have got your icon.
Yes.
So that was how it hatched, and I have always loved the song. And then a few years back, I came across with just the music, and it was played on a cello. And I just recorded it, and I played that from time to time because it's kind of reminded me of my whole journey from Hong Kong days, and then I left home. And if you listen to the music, it's quite yearning. And it's just beautiful and calming and sad, and sometimes it's encouraging. I don't know. I connected to this particular piece of music, and it's one of my favorite.
Well, that's a lovely way to end our chat together, Tracy. I was talking to Tracy Lee, who is the acting executive director of Cape Town City Ballet. And go along and see Giselle, which is on here at the Artscape Opera at the moment. Tracy, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
This December, something extraordinary is coming to Cape Town. Experience the global phenomenon Matilda the Musical, inspired by the magic of Roald Dahl, live on stage at Artscape. The New York Post says, believe the hype. Don't miss the musical of the decade, proudly brought to you by Peter Turin and GWB Entertainment in association with the Royal Shakespeare Company. Be a genius. Book now. FMR.